It is Friday, December 2. You are listening to the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. We are at the Oriental Hotel in Mudgee ahead of Cup Day here today. Beautiful day, 24 degrees, sun's out, and high drama at the World Cup in Qatar as we're broadcasting here this morning as well. Japan have come from a goal down against Spain to take a 2-1 lead. Germany are 1-0 up against Costa Rica. And as it stands at the moment in this group, Japan are on top, Spain second, and Spain and Germany are on 4 points. Now, the goal difference is significantly different in that Spain have a goal difference of +6. Germany are at zero. So, this is a huge turn up. Germany, they could be out of the group stage here as it stands. So we'll keep you up to date with that, because Belgium ranked second in the FIFA rankings. They went out overnight after they had a scoreless draw with Croatia, and Morocco beat Canada 2-1. So Morocco went through along with Croatia from that group. But all eyes on Sunday morning here in Australia as the Socceroos take on Argentina. The prize for the Socceroos, well, it would be, I think you were unanimous in this, it'd be the greatest moment in Australian football, soccer history. And Loz ponders whether it would be the greatest upset that one of our national teams has ever come up with. And I don't think that would be challenged, Loz. I think it would be the biggest upset that an Australian national team might have ever conjured if we could pull off the what is seen as very unlikely on Sunday morning.
Well, just given, you know, the state of football in this country, and compared to some of the other big nations, and then you've got how we struggled to qualify, and then all of a sudden we get there, and then we weren't expected to move through our group. We've won two games in a row, we've kept clean sheets in those games, and now we're coming up against the world powerhouse in Argentina with arguably the greatest ever player in Messi. I just think it would be. I think it'd be our greatest ever upset as a country in any sport.
I think, too, we should point out, Laurie, what you're saying is correct, but it is at a World Cup, too. There probably have been upsets in one-off test matches,
yes,
in varying sports over the years, but we're talking about a World Cup here for football. So this is on a whole new level in terms of status for sporting events. So I've got no doubt you're right, Laurie. And as I said before, I'd even go a step further. In my opinion, if we beat Argentina, that's not up there with the great upsets. That's up there with the greatest moments in Australia's long history of sport.
Just before we get to Adam Pengilly, who's there covering the golf in Melbourne, the Sticky Wings Multi Loz today, what have you got for us?
We're going Rose Hill Race 3, number 2. This is all tomorrow. Gaza Blanca to run top 2. And then we're going to have to wait last at Pakenham. Race 9, number 13, Typhoon Harmony to run top 4. And if you'd like to be a part of the Sticky Wings BSB Multi, that is paying $7 this morning.
$7, tab app, tab website, click on sport and today's offers. There it will be. And Gaza Blanca is a hot favourite for that race 3 tomorrow at Rose Hill. Craig Williams is on Typhoon Harmony there at Pakenham in the last tomorrow. Adam Pengilly is there on the Sandbelt in Melbourne. Adam, good morning to you.
Jared, morning, boys. How about this soccer this morning? It's unbelievable, isn't
Dramatic.
It? Yeah. I haven't watched much of the first half, I must admit, but I did see the halftime stat. And Spain had 80% of the possession, 80% of the ball, and they were winning 1-0. And within a few minutes of the second half, they're now down 2-1. So,
well, there's another turn up here because Costa Rica have just scored. So Germany are in froth and bubble.
Wow. Well, they're in all sorts now because they need Spain to get back into this game and at least get a draw against Japan. Now they're drawing themselves. So, well, imagine if Belgium and Germany both go out on the same day at the group stage. What a turn up for the books that would be.
Now, what happened to Cam Smith at the golf yesterday? He was pretty candid in saying that's as bad as he's played in a long time.
Yeah, he didn't play well, Jared, it must be said. He was one over for the round at Victoria Golf Club in the afternoon yesterday, and I think he was right. It wasn't the Cam Smith we've come to love and know for the last probably 6 months to a year. He certainly didn't have his A-game yesterday. I'm just sort of wondering where the big couple of weeks might have just caught up with him there yesterday. He's had a lot of commitments as he come back to Australia. Had a huge week up on Brisbane last week in the Australian PGA. I think he celebrated accordingly from all reports. Made a bit of a late entry down to Melbourne this week, and he didn't have his best stuff there yesterday. And I think, to be fair, getting across to Kingston Heath this morning, he's already teed off in his second round at Kingston Heath. I think most people are suspecting that Kingston Heath's probably going to play a little bit easier than Victoria, so he's a chance to sort of post a good score today and get back in the mix. But the one big concern, I suppose, for a lot of tournament organisers and officials is they've got this cut, obviously, today, this afternoon, but the double cut on after the third round on Saturday. So, you know, he's got to be inside the top 30 after the third round and still be playing on the Sunday. It'd be a massive disappointment if he doesn't finish the tournament because he can't make one of the cuts. So, waits out, plays out. I'm fully expecting to shoot a better round today and get back in the mix, but he's starting from a long way back after the first round.
What about Adam Scott, mate? How did he shoot him yesterday?
Yeah, I saw Adam Scott lodge out at Kingston Heath about as frustrated I've seen Adam Scott for a long time, to be honest. He had a one-under round at Kingston Heath, which at the end of the day didn't look too bad on the leaderboard, but he had a wild round. He mixed a ton of birdies with a heap of bogeys, had a double bogey late in his round, and he was really frustrated. So he did mention something, Loz, which I found quite interesting after the round, just sort of searching for answers why he struggled a little bit since he'd come back to Australia. And he mentioned the early tee time, saying that he's still really struggling with the early tee times and a bit of jet lag after being home for the last week and a half. And Scotty's the type of guy who's very diplomatic. He's very measured. He won't sort of talk out of school too much. And I sort of pressed him and asked him another question, saying, well, you know, do you think we need to look down here for our summer at golf to have a bit later tee times? And he said, oh, it's all done for TV, obviously. But he's had tee times where he's teed off at 6 o'clock in the morning up there in Queensland time. Again, yesterday he started at 7 o'clock. And he's got a little rule where he has to be up 3 hours before his tee time to get ready. So he's been getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to get ready for his round. And he hasn't quite found his best. So, yeah, he'll have a tougher task at Victoria this afternoon. If any wind gets up on that course, which might potentially be a bit tougher than Kingston Heath, he'll have his work cut out. But still, he's talented enough to get himself right in the mix come the weekend.
Adam, given Cam Smith's status these days, do you think his personality, which is that real knockabout Australian personality, helps with the weekly pressure that he now plays under?
Yeah, no doubt, Doggy. He's a pretty laid-back guy. He doesn't take anything too much to heart. You can still see he's a competitor, obviously, but underneath everything, that's what drives him. He wants to win tournaments, and it's very rare to see emotion from him on the golf course. Sorry, I think we saw it a couple times potentially earlier this year. I think definitely in the last round of the Masters, he probably was a little bit frustrated when he knew he had a great chance to win that tournament going head-to-head with Scottie Scheffler in the final round. And we probably saw it a little bit yesterday, just potentially for one or two moments. But by and large, he's such a relaxed and composed guy. He doesn't let too much get to him. But he speaks so candidly. Like, you saw his comments after the round yesterday, Doggy. He virtually just derided himself, saying, that's the worst I've played. And I played, you know, putting a few expletives in there, saying that was hopeless yesterday. So his demeanor usually holds him in good stead. And I expect him today. He'll get back in the mix. I think he'll shoot a good round today. And we'll be talking about him sort of maybe be 4 or 5 shots off the lead.
Grace Kim was the dominant player in the Women's Australian Open yesterday, and I'm guessing it must be so hectic having the men's and women's on at the same time.
Yeah, it went fairly smoothly, to be fair, Jared. I think the pace of play was pretty good. They got so many players in there to get through both courses, obviously, with 150-odd in the men and then over 100 in the women. So it's chock-a-block on both courses for the first two rounds. But Grace Kim, yep, she was fantastic yesterday. She started with 5 birdies on her first 5 holes yesterday at Kingston Heath and really blasted out of the blocks. And she was great with 7-under there to take the lead in the women's draw. Hannah Green was good as well. She was 6-under through 10 holes, had a bit of a blip on the back nine, but finished 5-under for the round. And she made some really interesting comments post-round, saying she doesn't want anyone to criticise the women if they shoot low this week and the men don't shoot as low. So I think they're really worried that the girls, that they're going to be accused of having the course set up easier for them than the men. And she just wants people to say, well, listen, just acknowledge we're playing good golf and that's why we're shooting low scores, rather than saying the course has been tailored for us to be able to compete a lot better on a course that traditionally would be designed for the men in a national open. So I found those comments really interesting. Minji Lee, guys, was pretty good at Victoria yesterday afternoon. She shot 2-under. She'll go to Kingston Heath this morning and obviously try and take advantage of the better conditions in the morning. But yet the women's tournament is shaping up to be a really fascinating leaderboard across the weekend.
Adam, before we let you go, Anthony Seibold had his first press conference at Manly a couple of days ago. Run us through your thoughts on how Seibold will go this year and whether you think Jake and Tom can play their best football under him.
Yeah, I only saw a couple of snippets of the press conference, Dougie. Were you there? How was
I was. He was good. He was good, to be fair. Yeah, I think he's under a lot of pressure. He knows that. And he also knows that the Brisbane situation was a debacle in the end. Mm. He says he's not out to prove people wrong, but I think he has to be. I think Anthony Seibold has to go in there ready to try to reignite a career which obviously was in tatters after the Broncos.
Yeah, there'll be a point to prove, won't there? The one thing I'm really impressed with, Dougie, is the fact that he's surrounding himself with some really experienced people with Shane Flanagan and Jim Dimmick, and I know it would have been great to have Woz on board as well, but that's the thing that's really impressed me, that he's not going to try and do this solo. And you see a lot of coaches will have lower-profile assistants to work with him, but he's bringing in some really smart guys as part of that brain trust to get Manly humming. And they'll need to start fast next year, obviously, otherwise the pressure will be on. And it's on for any NRL coach if they have a poor start to the year. But just to answer your question about Tom and Jake, I see no reason why they wouldn't, Doggy, to be honest. Like, I think Tom's got a lot to prove next year as well, given he missed the majority of this year with injury. He'd love to be back in the Origin, obviously, selection mix again next year. And provided he's fit, he'll be chosen, obviously. So I think there's a lot of people at Manly with a point to prove next year. And I can see him making a real success of the job. Obviously, I don't think they'll be a top four team next year, if I'm being honest. I think they can make the finals potentially, but I wouldn't be expecting them to challenge for a title straight away. But I think they're going to be looking at 24 and 25 as the 2 years where they really need to push back into that top four and potentially be winning a title. But I think next year for them, a pass marker, I would imagine probably just making the top eight.
You got some mail at Rose Hill for us tomorrow?
Yeah, race 4, number 7, Fremont Stewart. I heard Ali Mosley mention it earlier this morning. I think she's a class horse in the program. I know she's first up, but she's anchoring everything I'm doing at Rose Hill there tomorrow. I expect her to start a shorter price, closer to even money as well. And I think the value bet on the program is race 6, number 5, Tampering. A really honest horse. He doesn't win out of turn, but I think he finds a really suitable race at 2,000 metres from a low draw. Expecting just tucking behind the speed and be able to finish in the top three there somewhere. So it's race 4, number 7, Fremont. And race 6, number 5, Tampering, the two best at Rose Hill there tomorrow.
Enjoy the golf today, mate.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the weekend. Have fun at Mudgee, and we'll chat next week.
Well, golf is hard, Bulldog. But at Drummond Golf, we make finding the perfect Christmas gift easy with gifts for every budget, like Schrickson AD333 golf balls, 12-pack, just $24.95. Cougar Tri-Wheel Buggy, now $179. And Tura Edge 12-piece steel package, just $999. Unsure what to buy? Drummond Golf gift cards also available. Shop online or in-store at Drummond Golf, where Christmas gifting's made easy. Well, we are in Mudgee this morning. Beautiful day. Mudgee Cup day. We're at the Oriental Hotel. The bar is open. I think I see a schooner on the other side over there. But joining us now from the property shop here in Mudgee is Andrew Palmer. Andrew, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Terry. Great to have you guys up here.
Yeah, great to be here again. Now, you know, obviously interest rates have gone up, but Mudgee, I think, along with Orange and those sort of places, demand's been pretty strong still, hasn't it?
So, still tracking, yeah.
No downturn here at Mudgee, I'm guessing. Everyone still, a lot of people want to move out from the big smoke out to the bush, don't they?
Absolutely. God's country out here. But certainly slowed down a little bit. It's not as frenetic as it was last year, but tracking along very, very nicely. Prices are holding up nice and firmly, but still good value as well for Sydney people coming out of the city. Absolutely fantastic value up here.
What is it about Mudgee that is the attraction?
Look, I think we've got a bit of everything, to be honest. It's a beautiful environment, lovely climate, so you get full four seasons up here as well. Good, strong economy. There's plenty of work out here and just a beautiful environment and community to live in. It's not too big, you know, 10,000 people in the town. It's just a lovely, lovely environment, very strong community. People get in and support each other, and a welcoming one. You go out to some regional areas, so people complain it might be a bit clicky, but we have a lot of new people in our community, and people come in, they're welcomed, settle in, and it's a great place to live.
Andrew, every time I come here, and I've been here three or four times, the locals are so proud. They just talk about the town with such a passion. Why is that?
Yeah, it just gets back to that community. It's always been one of those really tight towns that people like to look after each other. And just lovely. Like, it's a fantastic place to live. You've got plenty to do here. Great food and wine, obviously. That's what we're known for. But there's so much more to it. If you're into your recreation, we've got two big recreational dams nearby. If you'd like to get out into nature, there's national parks, state forests, you know, whether you're cycling, you're bushwalking, you're riding, whatever you want to do, there's plenty to do here, or you can just come out and chill out and relax. It's great.
There always seems as though there's something to do every weekend. whether it's a major event or whether it's the wineries or whatever it is. But there's always something happening. There's a good vibe around town all year round.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that credit obviously goes to our council, our tourism board. They've got a lot of things in here. Big events, as say, cycling. We've got field days. We have running festivals. We have markets every
bring
weekend.
The football up here.
The football.
All different types
great,
of football.
Great facilities out there at Glen Willow. So whatever sort of football you want, whether it's rugby, league, soccer, it all comes up here. It's just a fantastic environment to come to.
Andrew, you got anything for Laurie? Can we drag him out of Sydney and his cushy joint on the North Shore there?
He'd probably be happier with a bit of a weekender, just somewhere
that's it.
To sort of,
good
bit
idea.
Of a bolt hole, somewhere to come to.
What do you reckon, Loz?
If I was buying property, mate, I'd love to come here, but I'd be stoned in the street if I didn't go back to Junee.
Yeah, fair enough. fair enough.
Well, I think they'd understand, mate, if you came up here, though. You sort of, we'll get you out on a few acres, maybe get a few cows or something, you'd be good.
How would I go with a cow?
Not great.
I love it when people say, oh, you're from the country, so you must love the animals. And I go, yeah, I love the animals. But if a cow started to, if I was feeding it something and it started to sort of lick my hand, it'd take it away quite quickly.
You are the most non-rural country person I know who was born in the middle of the country that I've ever come across.
All right, maybe a nice townhouse in
there. That's it. Thank you.
Close to the pub.
How sort of far and wide do you get interest? Like from interstate, do people sort of come to you, or is it mainly from people from Sydney looking to move potentially to the bush? I mean, how far and wide do you get interest?
Yeah, it's amazing. People come from they come from mostly eastern side of Australia, obviously, but we have people coming from all over the place. Sydney is obviously a big draw card. We had a lot of people coming in from further west when they're downsizing off big farms. Often they'll have kids in the city or on the eastern seaboard, and it's a nice central location for that. But we put property up. People come out of Queensland, out of Victoria, and sort of land up here in Mudgee. So it's drawing from everywhere.
Great day today. Does the town pretty much shut down, doesn't it? Head to the racecourse.
Yeah, Mudgee Cup's a big event for us here. A lot of people get out there for their Christmas party, not much happens. It's the race that stops the town, certainly.
Beautiful. Well, you enjoy the day. Appreciate you coming on and giving people an insight of. Well, if you want some property,
give us a call at the property shop. We're more than happy to help you move here. We love it here, so certainly if you're thinking about making a move, a lot of people have. Certainly come out, give us a call.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Good to have you on.
Thanks, guys.
Now, there's been, again, more drama over in the World Cup. There's been back-to-back goals, Costa Rica and Germany. So that game's now 2-2. Costa Rica led for 3 minutes in that game, which we meant for 3 minutes there that Spain and Germany both would have been out of the World Cup. So this is a high drama here with just less than 20 minutes left in both these matches. But as it stands, so Japan 2-1 against Spain, Costa Rica and Germany at 2-2. So Japan and Spain would go through as it stands at the moment. Japan and Spain, yep, that is correct. Germany in all sorts of trouble.
I don't think we digest sometimes, Mido, just what football means to these countries. We're pretty laid back in Australia. If the Kangaroos lose or our Australian cricket team lose, we hurt, but we don't really. We move on pretty quickly, but for someone like a Germany or a Spain to be bundled out now would be devastating.
Mm. Well, go and ask any Italian at the moment. They're in depression that the Italians have missed out on a second straight World Cup. Now, the Australian Open Golf, Cam Smith, he's dropped a shot already today, so he's in trouble. The Australian PGA champion, British Open champion, 2 over par for the tournament. Currently tied for 86th. So he's 1 over through 2 holes there at Kingston Heath today. And David Michelucci holds a 3-stroke lead. He doesn't tee off till just before 1 o'clock this afternoon there at Kingston Heath today. A 7-under 63 for him yesterday. And in the Women's Australian Open, Grace Kim shot a 7-under, tees off just before 12:30. Hannah Green and G.I. Shin, 2 shots off the pace. And they're both teeing off of the Victoria Golf Club at 5 minutes past midday. And we've got Dean Bulldog Richie sitting in for Clarkey today. He's got the day off. We're here in Mudgee at the Oriental Hotel. And Mudgee Cup Day today. And you're looking at me with a very interesting look on your face, Bulldog.
Now,
so go for gold. It looks you're up to some sort of mischief.
It's more that old saying that you can tell a man's character by the company that he keeps. And Laurie's got a mate here who he's just said hello to. The bloke, I won't mention his name, he's almost pushed Laurie out of the way to get to the bar. And there's now a schooner well, in his hand.
That's why we're strong. That's a strong friendship.
That's the company Laurie keeps.
That's the strong friendship, Dean.
One in all.
I'd be disappointed if he didn't have
no I in team in your peer group.
Is it mid-strength, though?
I don't know. I'll have a look. What are you drinking, Jez? Yeah, mid-strength. That's okay, mid-strength.
The 2745.
Well, it's great to be here. The cow cutter last night at the Oriental, 67,000 the pool got to. And joining us now is the publican here, and he is the mayor of the Midwestern Regional Council, Des Kennedy. Des, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Mid-Ove. Morning, boys.
Now, tell us about a month ago and where, the state the town was in, and particularly the track itself, and the work that's been done to make sure today goes ahead.
Yeah, well, 4 weeks ago this weekend, actually, the water was over two-thirds of the running rail of the track, so, and with a lot of current. So it ripped 365 metres of the running rail up and actually twisted it and ripped all the sand and the pre-training track up and some of the top of the straight. So we thought that stage would be, you know, 100 to 1 of racing. But anyway, they've done a good job out at the track, repaired it all. We got some running rail, beg, borrowed and stole it around the state. Got it all up. Some blokes from Scone Race Club came over and gave us a hand. So it's back and running the track now. Oh, all of a sudden, this time last week, we thought we better check on the irrigation of the track. It's starting to get a bit dry, and discovered then that it had buggered half of the irrigation lines and the solenoids in all the stations. So run around early this week to get some water. So the water's been back on the track all this week. So it should be fine. Really good service, I'd imagine.
We say it all the time, Desi, when you come out to the country and, you know, when things are tough, people rally in behind because they know they've got things to do and we've got to get this event up and running. So it's just not one group of people. It's a combination of a lot of people.
Yeah, well, you can imagine you can't find tradesmen for love nor money anymore or earth-moving gear. So guys just, like, dropped what they were doing, bought their backhoes and front-end loaders and whatever else in to repair the track. So, yeah, when the chips are down, they'll come good in the bush, Laurie. It's a great feeling. I mean, it's fantastic. I live out past here. I drove in this morning early and just ducked home then. It looks, you know, beautiful, and you just can't believe it. I came to drive past here one month ago today on the Sunday morning, and there was 4 foot of water over the road. I couldn't even get to town.
And just quantifying, like, how important today is for the town. I mean, how far out do people have to stay because of the influx of people to come to this race day?
Yeah, well, the whole region, I mean, people go and stay in Wellington, which is an hour's drive away, and obviously our other major towns in our shire, Gulgong, Candos and Ryleston, all fill up as well. Mm. So we'll have 4,500 people there today. It's sold out. We've sort of restricted it a bit so everybody has a good experience. And you've got to have a ticket. There's no tickets at the gate. So we've sold out, which is a great feeling. And you can cater. If you know how many you've got coming, I mean, the old days of just letting everybody coming in and giving everybody a bad experience, at least everybody will be looked after today. We know exactly how many people are coming.
Des, you just touched on it. How far afield do they come from the towns around the Mudgee region to the race day today?
Oh, Toowoomba, Coffs Harbour, a lot from Sydney, Newcastle and Central Coast, Sydney mainly. But I know some people from Toowoomba are here, not with a racehorse, just for the weekend. Some guys from Coffs Harbour, like, I think everywhere, Bulldog, it's just a weekend away. Like, I go with a mob of blokes to the Rockhampton Cup every year. So if you like the punt and the travel with your mates, it's nothing better than going away for a race weekend, you know, or a football weekend, or a sporting weekend. That's what drives this joint.
Must be great. Sorry, I was going to say, must be great financially for the town, the influx of money that comes in through cafes, pubs, bars,
without
et cetera,
a doubt.
Hotels.
I mean, yeah, blokes that go away or people that go away to the races for the weekend, they're not worried about saving money. They're going to spend. They'll eat out. They'll, you know, go to the wineries tomorrow. So tomorrow, which is Saturday, the whole town will get a big earn out of it. There's 38 wineries here, so they'll all go to the wine. They don't just come and stay the one night. They'll stay two or three nights. So the economic boost to the town, you know, would be over $1 million. I mean, there's a multiplying equation the economists all used. You know, if you get one visitor, they multiply by $180 or whatever. But so it'd be, you know, well over $1 million it'll generate into our, you know, economics, whether it's just even petrol, groceries, beer, wine, food.
But that's the great thing about Mudgee. There always seems to be something happening. How far in advance do you think of other things to do? Because you've got, you know, race meetings, you've got the wineries, you bring football games out here. When do you start planning for events?
I think 2 or 3 years in advance. Like we like to try and keep the footy games we've got, which is a charity shield on the 18th of February, and we have a race meeting, the country championships the next day, so it's a weekend away. Then we've got the Manly Newcastle game, which will be fabulous. Round 4 of the NRL. That'll be our biggest crowd ever, I think.
Newcastle, they travel, don't they?
Yeah, there's a bit of rivalry, Newcastle-Manly, from the old days, of the grand final, whatever year it was. God bless Newcastle. Sorry.
97.
97, was it? You can remember. That's good. That's good effort to you for you to remember that back then.
I'm not a Manly man, Des.
Aren't you?
No, far from it.
So probably a year or two in advance. We have another big event in last Saturday in September, which is our biggest event. This year we had 12,000 people at what we call Flavours of Mudgee. So we block off the two main streets and stalls of wineries and food stalls. And we got 11,960 or something this year for that. It is a big go. So we try to have five or six big events a year.
We obviously, you know, travel around to a few country cup meetings and see the strength of, you know, country racing in this state. Country Rugby League, we know it's had its challenges in this area. Group 10 and Group 11 merged last year. Something that I know Mudgee had called for a long time, had some resistance with other clubs in the area. So the inaugural Peter McDonald Premiership was won by Forbes, an upset over Dubbo Sims in the grand final. How was it all received now that it all finally came together?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's got, when the distances from Lithgow to Cobar is a bloody long way. I mean, I think the way the draw is, they, 1 year that Cobar will go to Lithgow and Lithgow will go to Cobar the following year. They don't do it twice. They've got it in two chapters, if you like. I thought it was very well. And give old Group 10, which is our group, a bit of a wake-up call that the guys further west, the Ningans and the Forbes and the those towns are pretty competitive. And Dubbo. Well, Dubbo seems like they were odds on to win, and Forbes rolled them in the grand final. So you had two Group 11 teams in the grand final and no Group 10 teams, which was a good wake-up call to the guys in Group 10.
What are the challenges you see then? I know as mayor, but you obviously know the importance of rugby league to communities in the Central West and out further. What challenges do you see need to be addressed in rugby league to help these towns and their clubs?
I tell you what, I've got a couple of grandkids that play rugby league, under 12s and under 10s, and they're not allowed to keep the score, and there's no winner and no loser. I don't know what numbnut thought that up, but that's a bloody disgrace. You reckon the kids don't keep the score? I asked my little bloke Banjo, he's about seven or eight, what's the score? He said he knows exactly what the score is, but they're not allowed to have winners and losers. Well, they're going to be a bit soft when they get into the big bad world when they...
You've got to learn to win and lose,
the challenges, Middo, are obviously distance again. We go to Bathurst and Orange and Cowra for a game of whether it's rugby union or rugby league. It's a 3-hour drive. Mm. So, and I guess it's the financial commitment by the parents. You know, you get $2, buddy, 40 or 50 for a litre of petrol, and you've got to drive your 10-year-old or 12-year-old to Cowra for a game of football that goes for half an hour. You're going to try not to encourage him. So I reckon financial one, and the distance travelling's all. But that's always been a problem. We've got the biggest number of, since we've been attracting NRL teams here, our junior rugby league registration has jumped about 45%. Whether it's coincidental, because our town is booming and growing as well, which would be a bit of that. But I think it's good that the NRL are bringing teams I reckon that's a fabulous idea. I think each club should bring a game, one of the home games, to the bush, whether it be here, Wagga, Tamworth, Dubbo, somewhere like
that. Loz, that's something you've been
We've been banging on for years.
I think it needs to be done, Desi, and I think that when people can see their heroes close up,
makes a big
difference. It makes a massive difference. Yep. If you can get a photo, you can get an autograph, you can see them in your town, then you're a rusted on supporter for the rest of your life.
Correct, correct, yeah. So, and I can just see it here. So Manly have been here a couple of times now. This will be the third year. Now there's all these kids, we had the launch out here last week. They're all of a sudden, they're all Manly supporters. These kids who were never going to be Manly supporters, but they are now.
Someone's got to help them.
Yeah.
Can't be Manly supporters.
No, I agree. You reckon they need help?
Well,
yeah.
Hey, Desi.
Well, Laurie was a coach for Fleeting Mail, wasn't he?
Yeah, then they came to their senses and tried to blame the NRL.
Get off the punt, Laurie.
Now, Desi, the food here is unsurpassed. But next year, if we come back, do you reckon you can make your steaks just a little bit bigger? Because Laurie inhaled his last night.
I actually
and it was gone in about 8 seconds. So can you just whack a little bit more, maybe just a bit of fat around the edges for him?
Yeah, I'll have to get him some Nexium, I'd say.
Now, Des, you know when my meal came out last night, it was a steak, and a massive steak. The great Bulldog Richie, who's supposed to be one of the great journalists, you know, journalists, you know, have to be on top of things, he goes to me, is that a steak?
What
I said,
think?
What else do you think it is?
What do you think it was, Bulldog?
It was smothered in gravy, so I couldn't see what was underneath. It could have been
a schnitzel or something.
Well, it could have been a schnitzel.
Was it lasagna?
It could have been.
It was a steak. A steak looks like a steak.
I'll tell you what, the steak didn't last long.
What did you have, Bulldog?
I had a little bit of pizza, and I shared it with the people in the pub who didn't have enough money to eat.
All right.
That's the kind of like I am, Des. I'm always helping others.
Humanitarian.
Yeah, I went around with the plate.
On that note, though, the Calcutta, $67,000 in the pool, and 10% went to Life Skills Plus. Tell us about Life Skills Plus.
Life Skills Plus is run by volunteers here for the special needs people. It's a wonderful organisation, and they're funded by government, but also by a lot of charity work that goes on around the town. So we'll give them $4,000 this week with a cheque, which will help them. They do a wonderful job. I mean, the work those people do in those places and get paid about $20 an hour or something is fantastic.
Enough.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you having us as always, mate. Yeah. Love our trip here, and it's a great day. Perfect weather today. Should be a beauty.
Yeah, 23 or 4 degrees. I think last year was about 40.
Yeah, it was hot.
So it'll be beautiful out there today. Bulldog won't even work up a sweat today.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that first beer, Desi. Be nice and cold, I assume.
After 12.
Well, he won't break out into a sweat walking to the bar to buy a beer, let me tell you that.
He's a bit shy.
He doesn't do it.
He's a bit shy that
bad
way.
Bad back, Des.
Bad back.
Thank you, Des.
Right, thank you, guys. Ta.
Deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin, and a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Yes, I'm talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought taken order from cooking. Grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we're located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, ask for Garlo's Pies by name. Garlo's Pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. And over at the World Cup, Japan. Well, Japan, another shock. They have beaten Spain this morning. And they're going through top of the group, Japan, after that win this morning. 2-1, they've won. And the Costa Rica-Germany game is about to end. Germany leads 4-2 against Costa Rica, but it is not enough for them to go through to the next round. Germany are about to go out of the World Cup along with Belgium overnight. Belgium ranks second in the world on the FIFA rankings. So Japan and Spain set to go through from Group E. Gee, some upsets. Let's hope we have the biggest upset of all on Sunday morning, though, with the Socceroos up against Argentina. Time to get some mail from Sky Racing's Brad Davidson. Dave-o, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Firstly, if you happen to have a look at the Mudgee Cup today and come up with anything.
Yeah, terrific day always out there, guys, in Mudgee. To all those locals, enjoy the day. I've got plenty of friends in Mudgee. I'm sure it'll be a cracking afternoon of racing. And look, I've gone with Kamagui in the Cup, guys. I thought he was terrific in Saturday grade last time out. He maps well today from that good draw, and I thought he was hard enough to beat in the Cup anyway. And in the sprint, Morgenstern, guys, he's just a horse that's been a revelation, hasn't he, in the last few starts. And I think back out to the 1,200 metres, he'll be hard to beat there, as the market suggests as well. So that's the way I've gone in the two feature races there at Mudgee today.
Well, we'll stay on the bush theme at Rose Hill, tomorrow, Davo, in the Tab Highway. How are you approaching this race?
A bit of an open race, the Tab Highway, Loz. I didn't think there was a great deal between quite a few of them. Is there a runner that interests you in particular?
Not really, mate. I haven't really done a lot of work on it, but there's one there, the Dramatis, Rod Northam's horse. He tipped me at a couple of starts ago, and it ran second when we were down there in Melbourne, up in Rose Hill, and it was unlucky, and I just got a feeling that might surprise us again tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think he appreciated running between horses last time out. He was obviously right in the market, and he was definitely ran below expectations there, but the run prior to that was super. He's definitely got a nice little turn of speed on him, and I agree with you. I think he'll bounce back and run a much better race there tomorrow. And one of the main hopes, I think Radiohead's got a good chance. I think Sung Blue's also in the mix as well. So they were the three main hopes for me, but I can definitely see him turning it around and running a much better race, the Dramatist.
What's your best tomorrow at Rose Hill, Davo?
Look, I think there's a couple of shorties, guys, that look very hard to beat. I Am Me and Gaza Blanca. Now, I Am Me,
brilliant.
I think she's very well suited there tomorrow. I think she's $1.80 currently. I think she'll start closer to $1.50 than $2 personally. She was explosive there first up at this same track and distance. She drops 4.5 kilos off that victory, and she just looks thrown in here, where the second favourite, Key Largo, he looks horribly weighted in a race like this because he ran second in the Warra. He went up 11 ratings points, and I just think he's got far too much weight as a result. So I think she's the good thing of the day. And Gaza Blanca, I think, is also hard to beat earlier on in the program. He broke the track record there at Cranbourne last time out, a record that had been or stood since 2005 from the subsequent Cox Plate winner, El Segundo. Beat a really good field too, and with all due respect to the rivals tomorrow, there's no horses in it that would have been winning that race at Cranbourne, let alone winning a track record. So he looks terribly hard to beat too, guys. I thought they were the clear two standouts on the Rose Hill program tomorrow.
Well, that's good news, Loss.
That is good news. I've got Gaza Blanca in the multi, Davo, to run top two. What about down south Pakenham tomorrow, race 9 in particular? I've got Typhoon Harmony to run top four.
Yeah, a race I haven't... I've got about four or five races still to do at Pakenham there tomorrow, and that's one race I haven't been able to tick off just yet. But a horse that's going definitely well enough, Loz, to feature in the finish there, and I like the play of Gaza Blanca. I do think that horse will run top two. The only thing it's got to handle is the Sydney way of going, but on the last start, if you take all their last start performances in that race, he's about 3.5-4 lengths better than anything in that race. And I think those coming out of the operative race at Rose Hill, I don't think that's a strong race whatsoever. So I think he's clearly the one to beat. I wouldn't even be surprised if he starts odds on, to be honest, because I thought the danger in that race, Sunshine in Paris, it's going to Brisbane. So I think it'll continue to firm up and be very hard to beat Gaza Blanca.
Thanks so much, Davo. Have a good day.
No worries, guys. Good luck to the Socceroos on Sunday. And as you said, some amazing upsets already in the World Cup. How about us going through and Germany and Belgium not? If someone told you that a week ago, you would have told them they were absolutely kidding.
Scoffed, to say the least. No, good on you, mate. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Cheers, guys.